Looking good, church. Looking good. I was preparing my outfit this morning and getting my facial hair adjusted for the appropriate decade. And, also making sure the pants still fit and whatnot. And then there's a knock at the door. And, I guess I got to get that, right? And then, one of our daughters had been ready for a sleepover, and then she ended up coming home. She wasn't feeling well. And the parent who was there, who's good, you know, her daughter's good friends with our daughter, and she's like, interesting look. And it was totally like, yeah, that's right. And so then there's this, as a church, we are having Retro Sunday tomorrow. And I said, you know, sometimes people can really perceive the church as being a stuffy place, it's quite narrow-minded, and not open. And she's like, well, you know, that's not just because they perceive it. Some churches are like that. And then I said, well, this is a little bit of what we're doing. And she's like, she wasn't a person that I know that attends a faith community, but she was like, that's the kind of church I would be interested in going to. So it was interesting because there was an opportunity to just gently with my life, unexpected event, and say, hey, this is part of who we are and our church that we're connected to. And this is what we're talking about this morning. These opportunities that we're given in life and these opportunities to do good. So I want to give you guys an opportunity to just turn to the person next to you and say, what are some opportunities to do good that our church has done over the past year or even past years? What's a story that stands out to you? So, and then I may ask for a couple of you to share if you're up for it, but just turn to the person next to you, reflect on what's an opportunity to do good that our church has taken advantage of. Go for it. You got a good minute here. So, here's some good conversation. Does anybody got a volunteer here? Anybody willing to share a story? I see somebody volunteering another person. Adrian, here you go. We got a microphone here.
Oh my gosh.
Share a story for us.
Oh my gosh.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. You guys took a week out of your normal plans and went to Mexico as a team to go and serve those less fortunate, and you built a house and you played with kids, and it stayed with you. Very neat. Anybody else? Adrian shared a story. Anybody else got a story or two? Take a minute. Opportunity to do good that we've taken advantage of.
Getting seated in the Word of God.
Seated in the Word of God. Taking advantage to be in God's Word. Thank you, Alan. Anybody else? I know, who wants to speak in front of this many people, right? You got to be sick in the head to do that. No, no, I'm just kidding. Yes, pretty well. Okay, Tracy agrees with me. Right, the workshop, yeah. So there's all these opportunities that we're taking advantage of.
Yeah. Offering too.
Yeah, and the offering as well. And offering, right. Don't make eye contact with me, I might. Yeah.
Right.
This. I'm not repeating that comment. Anybody else? I'm too much of a stranger. You can't talk. Here, let me. Does that help? I know, and I met some people for the first time this morning too. It's like, okay, hello, I'm Dave. I'm not sure if that helps or hinders. You might need more sunglasses now. I don't know. Pastor Barry and I were like, yeah, we got together this morning. We're like, can you believe these people? What they have to do every morning? It's much easier without hair. Was talking on the phone this week and recounting how our church has taken different opportunities and advantage of those. As our whole region went through a major crisis with the fires last summer, I remember how we sent someone on our behalf And it was like, they said it was like going into a war zone. There was RCMP all over the place. They went to the camp. There was like 1,200 firefighters. The army was there. And we sent just a blessing of refreshments. We sent like tons of cherries and strawberries and blueberries and raspberries, over 100 watermelon, over 1,000 donuts, toiletries, deodorant. They really appreciated the deodorant. They couldn't buy this stuff. Walmart was closed down, evacuated, right? This was the troop in Williams Lake. And our church sent these supplies to go and reinforce the troops, being a blessing to our community. Where'd we get all that money? Hey, our own teenagers raised it at the Multiply event. Our own church supported it by giving paddle boarding, and we were auctioning off stuff and photography and it was all this amazing opportunities for good. I was thinking of somebody new showed up in our midst, went to a life group, and wasn't somebody who felt comfortable driving to Prince George for key medical appointments. Three people in her new life group said, "We'll drive you." She was blown away by that hospitality. I think of our foyer, right? I think of this building. Think of all this church of the past and all the many ways that we have done good and left a good name so that those who've come here now, we stand on those shoulders. And just reporting, you see it in the bulletin. Hey, in one Sunday, on top of our regular offering, last week we gave over $12,500 towards renovating the foyer. It was awesome. And that is not for ourselves, but to be in honor of God. That's right. Wow. Thank you, church. And it's not for ourselves. It's this welcoming presence showing how central God is in our lives and looking to uplift Him and make it a fully functional space. So thank you. We're leaving that offering still open to contribute to as we build this summer. That's a huge leverage point. There's still opportunity to live into more vision. So if you still feel like I want to contribute or I haven't had been able to, you can just designate your offering in that way. So thank you. I was thinking I could talk about the elders and being in a three-hour meeting, which can be a test of patience and whatnot, and you're making key decisions. And I think of early morning coffees and leadership and all the effort and heart of service. I think of musicians practicing in the week, practicing in times when we're never seen. You think of life group leaders preparing, youth leaders going and being with youth at all times of the night, all-nighters, overnighters, middle-of-the-nighters. You know, you name it. Like, we have people serving in all kinds of ways that I didn't even begin to mention, and it stands as such a fragrant offering to the Lord of loving service to Him. And here's the thing. We were simply being the church. We were simply being the church. It's just who we're called to be. This is an identity statement. This word church that's used in the New Testament, in Greek, it's ekklesia. And it's made of two words. Ek. Okay, you're seeing it. We read to right to left. Yes, okay, you're seeing it here. Ek, and then kaleo. It's this ekklesia. There's ek and kaleo, and it's out and call. We are called out of a life of sin, a life centered on ourselves, as creatures who are made, whose existence is really given to us. We're called out of ourselves into communion with God, the Creator. I have some leftover hair there. Okay. And it changes our whole identity. And how we become the church is when we repent of living as if God isn't the center of things, as if we are, or as if somebody else is. We repent of that, and we accept that God is the center, that he is the creator, that everything that we've been given and everything that is sustained is from him. And it's only out of that that we just worship and we're thankful and it changes our whole life. This is what it means to be the church. So on Church Appreciation Sunday, when it comes to participation and service in the church community, and I don't say this lightly, I'll say this, we don't merely volunteer. We use that word, and it can be a good word, and it certainly has a history of being a good word, and you'll see it's even in our soccer invitation, but we actually changed the title of this event, you know, a year back, going, instead of volunteer appreciation, church appreciation, because it means more. There's a deeper, richer meaning coming out of that. Because I think the word volunteer has kind of changed with society. I hear how some people treat it who've come from, I don't know, in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, how I'm dressed, whatever, or how our pastors are dressed. This different time, but now, and I don't know if you carry this, but for a lot of us, there's this sense of, I don't have to do this. You're actually lucky if I do this, if I give of my own time, my own money, my own energy. Like, you really need to appreciate me, because I really don't need to be here right now, right? And if that's, I had some actually interesting conversations with some local government officials. They're talking about how volunteerism is so down and how there's such a struggle with that, with getting volunteers. And they looked at this community with some sense of awe and foreignness of just going, how on earth do you get so many volunteers? And it's like, well, there's such a big part of it. It's because we don't see ourselves as volunteers. We see ourselves as the church. We are responding to the call of God who called us out of a mucky life of sin, of self-centeredness, and someone died on our behalf. When someone dies on your behalf, it changes your whole life. It changes your life. Let alone somebody really important dies for you. Somebody so important that they came from eternity to earth. Not just anyone, but the Son of God himself switched places with you on the cross, giving the very divine blood to account for every transgression, every mess you've made in your life, every misused word, every callous action, every stinging, cutting remark that is meant to hit a target, every time that you've misused your body, misused your mind. The Son of God took on the penalty for that, for you in love. And it completely changes our identities when somebody dies for us, let alone the Son of God has died for us. So this is just who we are. We act and serve and love as the church because we have been transformed. And it's on the inside. So then when our outside, as it reflects our inside, we don't take ourselves super seriously, but we take the cross super seriously. We take God's name, the name of Jesus, super seriously. This is just who we are. So we don't merely volunteer. It's a calling. We are called, and we are empowered by the Spirit of God, and we live our lives in response to God's love. So I think we're ready to hear from God's written love letter to us, the Bible. I'm going to read Galatians 6:6-10. We're going to focus in on verse 10. Thank you. If you've been here recently, it might be a grooved page here. And let's stand for the Word of God out of respect and awe of this treasured letter to us. So, I'll read verse 7 to 10. Church, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. This is the Word of God. Amen. You may be seated. So, centering in on 6 verse 10 this morning, and we'd actually went through it real fast earlier in our series, so this is a good one to center in on. Whenever we have opportunity, there's also this word, therefore. Whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So two things to I really want to highlight for us this morning, coming out of our identity, is that we need to celebrate. We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate how God is at work among us. We need to celebrate that how his presence has changed our life. We need to celebrate the good actions that he has empowered us to take advantage of, to do good to others, especially to the family of faith. We need to celebrate how the gospel of Jesus Christ has been sown into our life, when that happened, and what that enables us to do. Do you have a sense of how God's love provides the ultimate platform for you to live fully into the life that you have? Just like healthy parents provide a platform for kids' health to live into all of who they're called to be, even more so, God's love leverages you to go for it. One of the most unlikely stories in all of sports history is transpiring right now as we speak. Especially for you hockey lovers, you know what I'm talking about. This first-year expansion team, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, somehow, against all odds, they got to do this draft and take the leftovers of each team. And the leftovers, they put all the leftovers together and they just beat everybody. In the regular season, it was like, this is ridiculous. How are these guys doing so good? Okay, well, it's the playoffs now. Former champions, LA Kings, they're going down. They sweep the Kings. It's crazy. And then they win against the Winnipeg Jets, this loaded team. And did I miss somebody? Who else did they beat? The Sharks. Thank you, Trevor. You fall in. They beat the San Jose Sharks, and they're in the Stanley Cup final. They're down 2-1, but they're in the Stanley Cup final. What leveraged this team to great heights? They had an all-star goaltender. Their goaltender was the ultimate safety net that allowed them to make risks that they might not otherwise do. How does this apply to the church? God's love gives you such a security that it should be able to leverage you in a way that you don't really have to worry. You don't have to worry about the results of a conversation. You don't have to worry the same way about what your life is all going to have and hold, because ultimately, you know God's got you. God's love will embrace you. He is so good. We sang about it earlier. He's so good. He's never going to let you down. He leverages us. His love leverages us to take advantage of every opportunity to do good, to take advantage of opportunities that we would never worry about if it weren't for him. It leverages you to talk about his love and risk rejection because you just are just so thankful for his love. It leverages you to do some kind of, take on some sort of ministry role, be a part of some life group where you'd share, where you never really do that outside of that. His love leverages us. I've got an expression with two really good friends. We encourage each other. We go, live it, breathe it. Live it, breathe it. And it's a shorthand expression to just say, go for it. Live into all the opportunities that God gives you. Live it, breathe it. Take advantage of the moments. Don't miss the opportunities. There is there's a famous story that's even well-known in our culture, coming from Luke 10, 25 to 37, and it's about a church leader who misses the opportunity, who totally misses the boat, and somebody you wouldn't expect takes advantage of the opportunity to do good. He sees immense need, and he responds. It's a story that Jesus tells. It's Luke 10, 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus tells a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest comes along. When he sees the man lying there, he crosses to the other side of the road and passes him by. He must have had more important pressing things in his mind. I don't want to associate with all the need there. Another person who's experienced God. A temple assistant walks over and looks at him lying there, and he passes on the other side of the road. Then a despised Samaritan, and you're thinking of this in an ancient Jewish context, despised Samaritan came along. When he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3, Jesus asks, would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. It's a warning of getting so serious about the things of church or the things of life that you miss the complete point of how we're called to love God and love neighbor. Jesus brings it up again with his disciples. He says, even if you get a small cup of water or a small morsel of bread for somebody else, it's as if you did it for me. And these small actions make a big, big difference. Imagine that you had $86,400 in your bank account right now. What would that be like? Imagine you had $86,400. Can you imagine? Now imagine that this bank carries over no balance from day to day. It allows you to keep no balance. And every evening, it cancels whatever part of the amount that you had failed to use during the day. But it will replenish it the next day. What would you do? Would you draw out every cent? Of course you would, right? You would draw out every cent. Well, every one of us has such a bank. It's called time. And each day, we're put in our account 86,400 seconds. And at the end of the day, no matter how we've used them, the account empties. No balance. No overdraft. Each day, you get an account full again. How are we going to use our deposits? How are you taking advantage of every opportunity to do good? We're going to close with a video, and then I'll come up very briefly to conclude. Just get our heart. I think we'll be amazed at how small actions can make a huge difference as we live them together. Let's play. Thank you. Thank you for all those acts of love, all those ways that you've taken advantage of every opportunity to do good. As we collectively express this life of sin that we've been called out of, this new identity we've been given, where the Son of God would give his life for us. Thank you. Let's celebrate what we do. Let's celebrate how God gives us this incredible task of being a lighthouse, to let our light shine before others, the love of Jesus. And let's continue to initiate these acts. Let's initiate them in the upcoming day, months, years, taking advantage of those accounts that we've been given. Let's continue in worship. I invite you to stand as we sing about how we are the lighthouse to the world and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ.